fine with that, so I'm in here, son.
Because I'm with you to the end of the line.
You have no idea what side you're on!
Welcome to Ta-da! Let's Unpack, the show where we discuss and talk about our thoughts from the most obscure to the most about films, series, and everything in between. Hosted by Franz Halil. What's up, guys? Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, so hey, we're back up for episode 3 of Tara, Let's Unpack. So I'm your host, Franz Halili. And tonight, we have another guesting from our favorite Oscar insider. Please welcome Uwe Yula.
Hi,
hey,
guys.
Hi, Uwe.
Hi, what's up? What's up?
All right, yes. So
time to
before
unpack
everything else, apologies last week for my mic. I know the recording was really shitty. But right now, we're back. So tonight, we're going to talk about the critically acclaimed South Korean film, Burning. Uwe was the one who recommended the film Burning to me, actually. When I asked him when he was about to guess, I really thought that he was going to suggest like a Christopher Nolan or like a David Fincher film. But I was so shocked when he suggested Burning after
yes
watching this film for like 2 times already. Dang, I still have more questions. How about you, Uwe? Ikaw ba?
Yeah,
super dami pa rin ba ng questions mo?
No, actually, just a background of what you mentioned, why I picked Burning. You know, because one of my favorite directors, yeah, Christopher Nolan, Denis Villeneuve. And as much as I really wanted to, there was one Denis Villeneuve film that I wanted to, you know, bring to light, get to talk about it with someone. I think it just so happened to be that last week we talked about Steven Yeun and his first time being nominated in the Academy Awards. So I think it was also fitting that we talk about one other movie that he did before, just so we could also talk about, like, you know, his past work that we also know. Yeah, know his other works and see a different version of his, or a different side to, or
how
his wide range of how he performs, his acting skills. And yeah, not only because of Steven Yeun, but then I knew that this film had a lot of themes, its plot, a lot of scenes that we could, you know, we could really talk about a lot, we could really discuss.
Yeah.
So I think it was like the right fit. And well, you know, not only is it like a beloved international film because of Francis' love for his international films. And I'm glad that, you know, France was on board.
So with that, let's go to our first segment. POV.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
All right, so overall thoughts on the film, Uwe?
Not sure if this is my first Korean international film. I think, yeah. But then, you know, besides that, like, I haven't really, like, been introduced to a lot of Korean films, even the ones before. You know, I just get my recommendations from my friends as well. Then when after I watched this, you know, everything just boiled down to like mystery. It wasn't your typical mystery film where it's like very detective-y.
It will leave you hanging up to the end of the film, like even after the movie finishes. Parang
yes,
parang alam yung ano eh.
Yes, and not hanging in a way na it was like a cliffhanger na ang dami.
Yeah.
And ang daming like, oh, at the end of like a scene or like at the end of the movie, it was just really like it leaves you hanging because it doesn't answer the questions deliberately. As in,
it's a very open-ended ending na pwede ka maglagay ng sarili mong interpretation on how it ended. Like, ganun siyang ka-open-ended, which is not a bad thing.
Yes, and just even, you know, like the tiny crumbs it leaves with its scenes. There are even like smaller mysteries within the mystery, the bigger mysteries that the film presents, and it won't answer you. It doesn't care. But not saying that it's a convoluted or complex film, because actually, yeah, I was going to say a while ago, it really takes its time. The build up, like during the first act, it really sets up everything. Just like, you know, like you compared to how they built up those scenes in Parasite. Ang galing nila. Like, well, what I noticed, Korean filmmakers are really good with setting up everything, like setting up the characters. Setting up the lack of a better term, the setting, the place. You know, all the small details, the small items, props, whatever that's going to be important in the plot even later on, or you know, this has meaning to like a scene later. Like, they're really good with setting it up. And I think, yeah, Burning took its time. Its pace was really deliberately slow. It was really mm-hmm. Even watching it again, I was like, wow, actually I don't know how I sat through this film, because not that I get bored, but then you know, it's just really like you're sitting there, you're just waiting. But then after the build up, like everything just, you know, starts happening, not all at once, but then you know, like things start happening, and then that's where you're like, like I think, oh, like this film's like, it's interesting. There's something. Oh, and then you know, after a while, you know, just like you being amazed, and your awe just gets like bigger. Even the curiosity, the questions, they get bigger. They grow, and it just, you know, more and more come into your head. You get more ideas. And I just like how it doesn't care with explaining it to you.
You get
what I mean. Even I mean, we'll get to this later. You know, like what the director said, but then he mentions a lot that it's just, you know, it's just about life. But then that's what he wanted it to be, and I think, yeah, you saw that in the film.
Yeah, siguro like chiming in on what you said regarding the pacing of the exposition of this film, of setting up the characters. If we compare it kasi to, for example, like a Devil Wears Prada. A Devil Wears Prada kasi in the first 10 minutes of the film with that opening montage, you really get to know kung sino si Andy Sachs, kung sino si Miranda Priestly. But then for this film kasi, before you get to know all the characters, like you would really need to watch and sit through the film, and also kung saan pupunta yung film. There's a certain way of telling these kinds of stories, and I believe immersing you to the life of Jong-Soo, okay, will get you to be more empathetic with those characters. So that's why parang for this film, you would really need to have patience siguro, kasi it would really pay off. And also, I think this film as a whole, it would really get you questioning. Kasi everything has meaning, eh. Like, every scene has meaning. Every conversation has meaning as well. So that's why you really need to tune in to the film while you're watching. You really need to, like, watch. So that you will get the message. I think that South Korean filmmakers really believe that their audience are smart. That's why they don't care if it's not super spoon-feeding. But overall, for me, the film really succeeded in depicting the message it wanted to portray. It was a really nice film. It made me realize a lot of things as well, especially about what's happening in South Korea. And I believe that's the purpose of art in general, is to tell real stories of what's happening to real people. With this, so let's go to the first part of the film. So what are the standout scenes?
I think one standout for me, it was just that subtle scene where she talks, it's the really start of the film, where she talks about when she was like throwing, she was imagining she was throwing in her hand.
Nagpa-pantomime.
Yeah. She was talking about pantomiming, and then she was talking about the like that fruit. I don't know what I forgot the
it's
fruit.
It's a tangerine.
You're there, tangerine. But then she mentions kasi the fact where, you know, you have to believe that it's real, that it's there.
Yeah.
So in a way, like, you know, the, like that scene. And it's at the start. So, you know, you could just play it off as like, you know, they're getting to know each other, small talk. That's one scene.
Yeah, that's what I loved about Anorne. Yeah, yeah. That's what I loved about that first part as well. It really took the time in introducing Jongsu and Haemi. Like,
yeah,
they're rekindling of their relationship since they grew up together. They grew up as children in Paju, then they met in Seoul. So we can see like where the film was going for on the conversation when they were having their Yossi break after Jongsu won the raffle, di ba? Parang he's a college graduate, but he only does part-time jobs.
Yeah, tapos and he wanted to be a writer.
Writer, di ba? So parang
yeah,
how that one statement chains to these different kinds of symbolisms and these different kinds of parallels among the lives of the rich and also the ones who are struggling.
And then I think the phone that would keep ringing and then no one would be on the other side.
Yeah,
that's just like a small, no one would be on the other line, sorry. I think one would also be another small one. I don't know. Naaliw lang talaga ako na may isang cow. There was one cow that was left. I don't know. See, then again, we talked about the film. We just don't know. It was just there. I don't know. I ang cute lang. And then the other one, the scene talaga was the where Haemi introduces her cat. She brings Jongsu to her apartment for the first time, and then she shows her she shows him, you know, her room, and then what he had to do to feed her cat while she was away.
Ano ulit name ng cat?
Boil. But then you didn't see any cat. There wasn't any sound. All you saw was
the litter box.
The litter box was and then its poop. So obviously you would think that you don't see a cat. You don't hear anything. They don't show it in camera. But then you see its poop. So you would think in your head that that's real. And then bringing back to what she said earlier. Because of course, right then and there, we're already starting to question and wonder, like, is this cat really real? Yeah, those two for me were really the main scenes that really pushes the film.
The story,
It pushes the story, like, it starts to push it, with those scenes.
And parang, it really took its time. So for the next part of the film naman, we get the introduction of Ben. So that's why this takes a turn. Tara, ready na tayo. Kasi starting, we really see
parang nagra-rise na yung action ganun. For me, that's where the ball started rolling.
For me, one of the standout scenes in this part of the film is when they were having dinner. So parang Haemin was telling stories about like her trip to Africa and also what she did, like what about the sunset. So parang the conversation there was very deep kasi,
and yung little hunger, great hunger.
Oh, kasi yung sinabi ni Haemin na when the sunset disappeared, parang siya rin, gusto niya rin mawala.
Yeah.
Na parang ayaw niyang mamatay. Pero parang gusto niyang mawala na parang hindi na lang siya nag-exist.
And parang ang bilis ng shift niya, no? Kasi biglang she was talking na sobrang saya ng experience niya. Tapos na she got to dance with, this tribe, and then she got to meet a lot of people. She learned this, that. And then biglang naging teary-eyed, and then I was like, grabe yung shift. Wala malang transition. And I think deliberate yun. And choice na yun as an actor. She said those things kasi in a way it just came out of nowhere.
Oh, when she was telling kasi story, the story, she was very enthusiastic about it. Like for example, yeah, diba, yeah, when you travel to a place for the first time and you tell your friends about it, you get so enthusiastic. So what she said about the sun setting and wanting to disappear, parang it just she didn't intend to like for it to come out when she was telling the story, but it came out because of her high from her trip to Africa. So parang nalabas niya, and then yung mga bottled emotions niya inside, remembering what she felt when she saw the sunset. So dun mo makikita na this person may pinagdadaanan to. And by her saying that, you would want to find out ano ba yung problem niya. So we see, diba, Jongsu is just listening and consoling her. But we see Ben sobrang apathetic, saying na it's interesting seeing people cry.
Feel mo from it. I don't know kasi the exact lines, but then like na feel mo sa kanya na for him it was just like ang interesting yun to see people like that, no, to care about, you know,
to care about such things.
So parang na feel mo sa vibe niya na parang like not really like interested. I mean not really like, you know, here for that. Like I'm just, you know, here for the like the person mismo.
Yeah.
Parang yun yung vibe na nakukuha mo from him. Like I'm just here to like set it out, just to like, you know, be with this person, but then I don't give two shits about
that person.
I don't give two. Yeah, parang ganon. Yun. Basically, parang ganon siya. He looks like a nice guy. Like when you first meet him, ang bait niya kay Jongsu. So yun. So parang like biglang nagugulat ka na they give you little scenes from Ben na, you know, like ay parang like ang douchebag pala neto. Like small amounts. Like they give you small amounts.
Actually, what I saw from that line is his privilege reeking out of him. Because for him to say na it's interesting to see people cry because I haven't shed a single tear in my life, meaning he has never felt sadness before. Whenever siya nagkaroon ng problema, for him to be sad, for him to shed a tear. So yeah, that just shows na there's already a divide between these three. Jongsu and si Haemi, they're on this side. And si Ben, his name pa lang eh, ang very Americanized na eh. Diba?
Yeah.
So, si Ben, nandito siya sa other side. For me naman, he's a nice guy. Parang, throughout the film, I was waiting for him to like, parang pumitik siya.
He is guy.
It's just, parang he's just, wala lang siyang pake sa pinagdadaanan mo because he just hangs out with you because he's interested with those kinds of experiences, in knowing what it feels to have those kinds of experiences. Parang ganun lang.
Yun, parang ang cynical or ang sinister niya in a chill way. Yun talaga yung pag-describe. Yeah, but when I mentioned it to my friend, parang sabi ko like ang sinister niya or like yung hindi naman evil eh, parang
yung
na-feel mo talaga na there's like an ill intent. But then yeah, it also shows yun nga like what you said, yung divide. Like kita pa lang like, you know, his status and everything, yung how he presents
with the
himself.
Truck and the Porsche.
I know, sobrang lala nun. So yun, makikita mo din na that's why I think ang privilege niya din, because the life I think na he's been living, I mean, you know, plays a part din naman.
Moving on to the next part of the film, kasi that's where the two Jongsu and Haemin gets close with Ben, diba? Parang they started hanging out. So una-una, like they started hanging out at the cafe, then they got invited to Ben's condo.
Notice mo yung damit ni Haemin nag-iba. Like after meeting Ben. But then again, we don't know if it's, you know, like from her, like is she doing it like out of her own you know, like willingly, like with her own money, new clothes, parang medyo naging
parang she wants to fit I love the part when Jongsu and Haley were like in the balcony of Ben's apartment, and they were just talking about how Ben is like a little older than them and has already a Porsche, living in that kind of home. Tapos sabi pa ni Jongsu that he's a Gatsby. Na parang
ayon there, yun yung term niya. Not doing something that you know we don't know about. Na you know young pa siya. Well, yeah, older than them, but like young pa siya. Ben's still young.
Then he has that kind of
And then even that scene na before, like what we talked about, where they were eating dun sa restaurant. He didn't say what his work was because he said, you know, even if I told you what I do,
you wouldn't understand.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand. So then again, another mystery added.
You see, na parang ano eh, na parang sila Jongsu and si Haley, parang super ano nila sa lifestyle ni Ben. They're amazed na at such a young age or at an age like that, he already is living like a king, kumbaga. Why, bakit sila ganun? Like, bakit si Haley like rumaraket pa rin as a, a brand NCAA. Ambassador, as a model, ganun.
Tapos si Jongsu walang part-time.
Nawalan siya ng part-time kasi dun sa first part of the film, we saw him like he's a delivery man.
Yeah.
Ano, nung mga clothes, that's where he met Amy. You can see na these two people who have no stable jobs or income are friends with someone who has a mysterious job, who is damn rich.
Friendly.
Friendly.
Sobrang super bait sa kanila.
Eh parang impossible na mangyari pero nangyayari. So nangyayari at nandun sila sa house ngayon, magkakausap, diba? So parang these two men, Jongsu and Ben, represents like the different sides of the spectrum. Like, so si Jongsu yung nandito na parang nasa other side na a struggling writer, devoid of everything good in society, like family, career, and romance. So tapos si Ben naman nandito, like someone who is rich, someone who like an elite in society, and Haley is the one in the middle na in terms of hung kasi in terms of parang where she wants to be like Ben, kaya nga, diba? Like what you mentioned, she changed how she looked, tapos she has a lot of credit card debts. Oops, spoiler, pero a lot of credit card debts. So parang she's the one who's hungry to be on that side of life. So that's parang how I understood the dynamic of the thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, then we get to the part na where ano eh, where Ben introduces Haley and Jongsu to their friends. So to Ben's friends in a dinner. So I think this is one pivotal scene talaga in the film.
Daming
seeds, you know, that were planted. Ano yung ano thoughts mo dito sa scene na to?
I'll elaborate more kasi I need that other scene like this later so I can talk about it more. I'll just say with this scene where they first met the friends, yung the seeds that we talked about was, well, one, group of friends meeting Ben's new friend, which is Haley, and then I think nakasama si Jongsu. That's one. The friends surrounding Haley, like, I mean, not like surrounding, sir, but then like, you know, sitting, tapos siya yung parang nasa center of attention, gitna, and she's like this very, like, hindi naman sa bubbly, but like very, you know, animated person when she talks, and then very. I think it also goes with, I don't want to say class, but then hindi rin kasi siya sanay to like talk with, you know, talk to these kinds of people. So you know,
actually it goes with, to be honest, it goes with us with the standing of a person in society. Kasi siguro, ito, I'm not judging or anything, pero kasi with Haley's personality, kasi she's for sure, she's someone who has never been to that kind of place. So she wouldn't
know. Parang probinsya din eh. In a way, diba? Probinsya
din. Oh, so they're in like a sophisticated bar, diba? Tapos Haley was making kwento super animated, medyo loud yung voice, and the other the other people, like, they were just watching her. Kasi they know that she doesn't know how to act in those kinds of places, in those kinds of situations, because she's never felt that kind of... She's never been to those kinds of places.
Yeah, and yung she was doing that, like, natatawa yung iba. Others were, like, laughing. They found it funny. Others were laughing.
Oh, nakadisturbed nga yun.
yung iba, like, you know, judging faces or, like, parang, oh, weirdo naman ito. So yeah, that's the second seed. And then, like, yung third seed is yung si Ben na nahuli ni Jongsu na nagyon. You know, like, if it's like something visual, and then like what the probably, you know, like it's something the director wanted to really show, kasi I think he wouldn't put it there na biglang nagyon si no, but I think, you know, like you just really have to narrow it down and then just don't think too hard on it. What does it mean? Kasi when you yawn, it's either you're sleepy or you're bored. It just really shows na like, well, he's not interested. I'll talk about it more when we compare it to that this other scene that happens later on. But you know, yeah.
So after this, like, things get interesting as Haley and Ben visits Jongsu in Paju, di ba? And yeah, Jongsu kasi, the reason why he went back to Paju is because his old house is nawalan ng bantay, like walang tao, and they have a cow that needs feeding. And kasi
and, yung house din niya.
Oo, yung dad kasi ni Jongsu, his father is currently in jail and undergoing trial because of like an assault case. Mm-hmm. So Jongsu goes back and forth from Seoul to Paju. And when he's in Paju, he's trying to get his petition signed for his father's So you can see that Jongsu is really juggling a lot of things. He's not just parang a side piece ni Haney na dinadala niya kung saan-saan. Like, he has a lot of problems. Una-una, his mom is absent. Tapos he has to work for their cow in Paju, and also he's trying to get his father out of prison. So, ang dami niyang ginajuggle na ano, na personal problems. And wala pa siyang work, diba? So, and here comes Ben and Haley visiting him out of nowhere. Ito yung isa sa mga... Actually, for me, this is the most important scene of the film.
Actually, like, sinabi din yun ng director na when he was asked for you ano yung mga essential yung pinaka essential na scenes for you sa film, sinabi niya yun yung isa in Jongsu's house, that whole sequence. And then the other one I forgot, but then like you know, so yeah, with what you were saying na ang important niya nga talaga, the director's trying to set up with that scene, it's actually yun nga, like a turning point that's really important.
Actually, yeah,
you were saying.
I had like an epiphany dito sa scene na to, pero I'll get to that later. Pero when Ben and Haley arrived nga, di ba? So parang they drank, ganun-ganun. Tapos etong part na to, this is where you see the divide of these two characters. So, throughout this podcast, kasi I've been talking about the divide, the disparity, or the how different Jongsu and Ben is as characters. Like, with the way the scene was blocked. Tapos, Ben offered them offered them marijuana, diba? Tapos, from that, kasi we know naman na smoking weed is illegal sa Korea. So, Ben, like, super nonchalantly, nag-offer, di ba? Because it shows na he doesn't care about the law, and which he will mention naman to Jongsu later on in a later scene, di ba? Na parang he can get away with anything, and parang maliit na bagay lang to. While on the other side, Jongsu is trying to get his dad out of prison because of an assault charge. So parang makikita mo na may ano, may sense of entitlement and privilege tong si Ben. Kasi for him to just disregard na parang, uy, it's illegal, eh, makakatakas naman ako.
Actually, nga, buti na lang you mentioned Ben and Jongsu talking. Because in relation to like that, this like important lines na sinabi ni Ben to Jongsu, going back, I remembered, first time they were in Ben's apartment, they talked about metaphors. Bakit nga ulit na bring up? Kasi may sinabi si Ben na metaphor?
Yeah. Basta parang ganun.
Yeah, but then yeah, the word metaphor was brought up, and then Haimi didn't know what it meant, and so she was like, huh, metaphor? Like, what's a metaphor? Ben was going to answer, and then he said, oh, why don't we ask Jongsu? Because he's a writer. Going back to the scene in Jongsu's house naman, and then him and Ben got to talk about ito na yung important, yeah, ito na yung important greenhouses, and then
bro, wait, sorry, kasi ano yung epiphany ko kanina after watching the film for the second time, that
na doon mo na realize
na ginamit yung metaphor yung greenhouse for Haiti.
Grabe, like,
so parang when you mentioned na they talked about metaphors in sa apartment, oh my god, oo nga.
Yeah, diba? Diba na, if you missed that scene, this scene now with him talking about burning greenhouses every 1 to 2 months because there are a lot of useless greenhouses and he just likes to like burn them and watch them disappear into existence. So like, you know, for you when you watch that scene now, then it's nothing because you're like, huh, why is he talking about greenhouses? What's this weirdo talking about? That's where that scene about metaphors, you know, they mentioned the metaphors is important because you know he's doing it deliberately. Na he's talking about the greenhouses as a metaphor for, you know, for him.
Yeah.
The film doesn't really care to give you answers. Like, you know, it's like, oh, what did he mean by greenhouses? And then the film's just like, I don't know, you figure it out for yourself. Oh, kana. Big boy ka na.
Yeah. Nakakatawa nga with all like the symbolisms, with all the metaphors in this film.
Yeah.
The one that Jongsu took literally
was
Ben burning off literal greenhouses. That's why he went to different greenhouses. Before kasi that conversation happened, when they were all high.
Yeah, in that same scene.
Oh, in the scene prior, Ben played music, played jazz music. Then Haimi just, since she's high nga, Haimi just danced, took off her clothes, like literally topless, and danced.
Oh, you mean what happened after? Before, yeah.
Before, danced in front of the sunset. And
yeah.
What did she dance? She danced the Great Hunger Dance. That scene was, for me, was really painful because she was just, at first she was just dancing, like simple dancing, and she was like doing the bird and the with the hands. Then it became the Great Hunger. The bird shadow hands. Then it became the Great Hunger Dance. As like, she's really feeling it, eh. Kasi doon mo makikita na doon lumalabas lahat ng...
In sunset yun.
Oo. Tapos doon mo makita na lumalabas what she's feeling inside, na connected dun sa what she mentioned before, na that's why she just wanted to disappear.
Yeah.
Kasi she, obviously, she's going through something. The film doesn't deliberately explain what she was going through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until we got to the family of Haimi. Pero dun mo makikita na, she's hungry for the meaning of life. She's hungry for a better life. That's why she's doing the dance. And Jongsu was startled while Ben was just watching. Parang walang pake.
That's where they had the conversation after about the burning the greenhouses.
And nakakatawa pa na parang Jongsu was opening up to Ben about his father. Then Ben just, the nonchalant guy he is.
Yeah, then again, wala namang pake.
Yeah.
And then, in a way, I think nag-gets niya din. No, but I get what you said about you know, him taking it literally, you know, like looking around, like searching greenhouses. But it was weird because he also, while Ben was, you know, saying those things, like he also mentioned na parang like, oh fuck, I love her.
Yeah, Jongsu mentioned, diba? I love. So yeah, parang so, naisip ko nga, nag-gets kaya ni Jongsu yung.
Yeah, that's what I was like. So did he get that Ben was
that metaphor, diba?
Yeah, trying to say na what he meant by burning greenhouse is that he's going to, you know, kill Himi. But I think he was trying to find a burnt greenhouse, like with her body in it. Kaya I think he was also looking for greenhouses na sunog, because I think dun niya, Jongsu thought Ben would kill her there, na parang he'd kill her and then he'd burn her body in like a greenhouse. I think that's why he was like still looking for a greenhouse that was burnt.
I rebuke my statement. I feel like he got it, but mm-hmm. I feel like he got it, but mm-hmm. that's the reason, siguro, why he went to those different greenhouses. He was wishing that Ben would have burned at least one.
Yun para nga. And then,
sana hindi metaphor yung sinabi niya. Sana totoo na lang yung sinabi niya na greenhouse yung susunugin niya at hindi si Haley. Baka that's why he mentioned, but I love Haley.
Oo.
So baka nag-gets niya na.
Baka nga.
Oh my God.
Kaya important din yung scene because ito na yung last time na makikita niya si ano, si Himi. And oh, magkasama sila.
Di ba parang there was this something about being the greenhouses close to home.
Yun nga. Oh,
so,
yun.
I think it's another metaphor that kaya sinabi ni Ben to Johnson na it's close to home because not close to his literal house but close to.
Diba? Or yun sinabi, and then yun, or sinabi niya parang it's like closer than you think, parang ganun. I don't know. This is where, you know, things go spiraling down from here.
Actually, parang this is the part where the film finished setting up everything. After this part, kasi it's more of Jongsu trying to solve a problem or trying to figure out trying to find a conclusion to what's been happening. Like after Ben and Himi left Paju and went back to Seoul, this is where Jongsu started like listing all the greenhouses close to his house.
I liked rin na hindi siya naging like hero agad. I mean, he was trying to like look for her, but then him realizing na oh shit, oo nga, parang mukhang wala na, natuloy nga talaga, like si Haimi nga yung nawala after a while, and then he just, you know, slowly started like that looking for her mode.
I feel like Jongsu was like us still figuring out what the hell happened, what and Ben said, if that was a metaphor or not, diba?
Diba, like if you were really there, like realistically speaking, syempre parang, you know, medyo fina-figure out po pa like what somebody said.
That part where he was just following Ben around, that was really interesting eh. Kasi the frustration the frustration was really building up inside Jongsu with all the things that he's been dealing with. Tapos with the situation, Heidi pa nga going to her apartment, tapos seeing na all her clothes are gone, tapos her apartment was clean, the cat is gone. You will see how Jongsu wanted to look for Amy to the point na he was literally stalking Ben. Tapos yung biglang yung revelation when he approached Ben in a cafe was there's a new girl na. So imagine parang it took him like almost 2 to 3 months following Ben around, diba? And not knowing what the hell happened to him.
Ang interesting, because you see, literally parang nag-chase scene sila. Nalala mo yun, yung sa outskirts of where. Tapos biglang yung scene na yun na nag-lockout si Ben. Like this.
So parang dam.
oh, na may water, grabe. Like, in a way, na-feel mo din yung, ano, yung parang, ano ni Ben, like, just him, like, seeing him looking out sa water, parang in a way, na-feel mo na may, ano din siya. Hindi naman weight, pero like, seeing all of that charismatic person, rich, pogi, very nice, and then seeing him there, so syempre nakikita mo parang he's thinking about something, like may pinagdadaanan siya. I'm not saying na, you know, we should sympathize with, you know, someone like that, but yeah, then nakita mo lang na nakita din ni Jong-su na parang like, oh, nagmumuni-muni yung tao na to.
After nun, they went to the condo na of, ay, Jong-su was caught by Ben na nagsustalk, tapos Ben just invited him inside.
Crazy scene.
I think this is the part where where Jong-su confirmed na the metaphor of the greenhouse is really not the greenhouse.
Ang daming nangyari sa scene na to, like one of my favorite scenes. When he arrives in Ben's apartment again, he sees a freaking cat. So the parang with our minds, there's a cat.
May cat pala all
along. Yeah. But then again, the first time we arrived in Ben's apartment, we didn't hear anything. No cat, no mention of anything. And then now there's a cat. And then Ben just casually says, oh yeah, yeah, I have a cat now.
I saw it. Parang, it was a stray cat.
Parang stray cat yung sinabi niya. Siyempre, messing with Jong-su's mind, because why would you like leave concrete evidence out in the open? Because, you know, he knows about Haemi's cat. So yun, and then nawala because the girlfriend arrived. Oh yeah, we never got to mention pala his bathroom scenes, no? Whenever he would go inside the bathroom of Ben's apartment, one, he would see this makeup box.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the parang steel case ganun. Why would he have, you know, like girls' makeup?
And two, at first I thought nga may asawa siya eh.
Yeah.
Like may two, yun yung akala ko.
Oh. And then two, he would open this drawer sa parang cupboard ng bathroom. And then he would see like girls' things like bracelet, earrings.
Like personal things, 'di ba?
Oh, like yeah, and then I don't know what other, you know, hair stuff that girls put sa hair nila, or necklace, earrings, whatnot. So he saw that the first time they arrived, and then now where he was invited back, kasi nahuli nga siya ni Ben, he sees Haemi's watch. So like
the watch na para lang sa listeners natin, the watch na binigay, na the watch that Jong-su gave Haemi on the first scene when they were smoking in the alley.
So yun, and then so syempre medyo nagtataka na talaga si Jong-su, as in sure na talaga siya. The new girl arrives, and then the cat gets out. They can't catch the freaking cat, so he had to help. And eto na talaga yung icing. Ito na yung icing on icing on the top of the cake of Jong-su.
The cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake.
Of Jong-su's speculations. When they were looking for the cat, they couldn't find it, and then they were calling the cat, and then luckily Jong-su finds the cat in like this one secluded area where Ben and the new girl don't see him there. Yeah, and then he was calling the cat like, oh, come here, like come, and then wala. And then he starts calling the cat Boyle. Is it Boyle? come here, Boyle. And then the cat goes to him. Ano ba yung gagawin ko? Takbo. So like, I mean, kaya may payoff. For me, nag-pay off talaga yung like yung long na act one, and then build up everything, those scenes na ano. Kasi, I mean, you get this na reaction. So parang like, oh my God, ano yun? And then not to prolong anything, but then yun, and then sinabi ni, at first sabi niya na he's gonna leave na, And then Ben says, no, stay. Kasi, you know, kasi my friends.
Are
actually, dumating, yun nga, biglang dumating yung friends niya. He was gonna leave na. And then one subtle thing na gusto ko yung sinabi ni that Ben said that I think also like, you know, more overlook would be when Jong-Soo said na, oh, like you're having a party. Then when they were in the apartment, he was like, oh, you're having a party. And then Ben said, oh, no, not really a party. It's more of like a gathering. So I was like, what the freak does that mean? Because like, I mean, you know, syempre, they won't just put that line. Yung theory ko lang kasi is that yung ginagawa kasi ni Ben is nag... kaya nawawala yung girls and kaya siya mayaman kasi nagbebenta siya ng mga organs nila. Gets mo ba? Kasi one, like, hindi ayaw niya sabihin ano yung ginagawa niya. Tapos sinabi niya na if sabihin ko sa'yo, sa'yo, Jong-Soo, hindi mo magigets even if i-explain ko pa sa'yo. Two, very rich yung family niya. Siya, we don't know what he does. Tapos ang dami niyang pera and everything. Tapos every time na may bago siyang girl, nagmi-meet siya with his group of friends and then they all observe that new person.
That's why everyone were like, parang, oh,
yeah, like, yeah, well, not only like, you know, dinajudge siya, like, ano, but they're all observing her. Tapos yeah. Him yawning, it's like one, nabobore siya. And like, you can say na he's done this a lot of times. Na parang, same process again. Pupunta na naman friends ko. They're gonna like observe like how she is. And then if na-notice mo, ang yaman, ang rich din ng friends niya. So like, syempre, like, you know, they could also be in on it. And then once may bagong girl na, and then,
or
you know.
It's like, ano, it's like an open house, kumbaga. Alam mo yung ginagawa sa real estate, diba?
Oh, and then nag-party ulit sila or gathering. Kaya nga sabi, hindi naman party, parang gathering siya. So, yun, they arrived again and the same thing happens where they observe the girl and then the girl is this, and yung girl naman is Chinese. So, and then yun, like, nag-yon ulit si Ben, tas nahuli siya ni Jong-Soo. So, like, you know, you would think naman because I believe, you know, we're all, like, smart naman to get this. So, they're really showing how it's the same. So why would they show, why would they present na nawala si Haimi last scene with Ben and then show na he's doing everything again?
Yeah.
So like, so I mean, yun like yung theory that, you know, keeps me sane after watching this scene.
I think in the, ano, after... Like, kasi in the end, diba, Jong-Soo kills Ben brutally, eh.
And he ends it in that way din, eh. Yung burn,
na burn. He burns Ben, diba? Eh.
Kaya parang ang poetic din, eh. Parang,
So parang in the end talaga.
Yeah, sige. So going sa ending.
Like, the film leaves you with more questions. With more discourse with other people who have seen the film. This is a great way for a film like this to end. Kasi the theories won't stop, the conversations won't stop. So parang,
I'm not sure if saan ko na narinig to, if I heard this, if this was an idea that my girlfriend gave me, or it was something that I saw in a video. But then they mentioned kasi na one of like a good message din is that when like him deciding, Jong-Soo deciding to kill Ben, it's also one way of showing na he took matters into his own hands. Something bad that happened or a crime that someone did. He knew na the justice system wouldn't work. Because before that scene, sorry for the viewers, before that scene, hindi nag-pull through yung...
Hindi na-acquit yung dad niya.
Yung dad niya. So, yung dad niya went to jail talaga.
And siguro for the last part of this unpacking, what I love most about this film is its message. Like, we saw, this film is a reflection of what we don't see in Korean culture or in what we don't see sa TV. Like, well, we usually see yung mga over-the-top K-drama, yung mga K-pop idols natin.
And super, super nice clothes.
Glitz and glamour ng Seoul, which is represented by Ben. And also, pag nag-exist si Seoul, meron ding Paju na nag-exist.
Yeah.
Na, which is like, si ano, si which represents Jongsu. So, like, connecting to what Ben said in earlier part of the film, it's like a simultaneous existence. For me, parang it represents how Korea is like a Seoul and a Paju. The divide that's been happening in Korea right now with when it comes to the social class divisions as well. Eh. Like, the rich are super rich and the poor are getting poorer and poorer. So, that's one aspect of the film that really stood out talaga. Kasi, it showed us, ay, hindi lang pala puro ano sa Korea, hindi lang pala puro sosyalan, hindi lang pala puro gantong entertainment. How did this film relate beyond the screen for you?
I think one way that it can relate to the outside world, even though medyo, like, hindi siya specific, but then I just want to say na ang fitting ng title. And I think, you know, that also showed with the characters, with what they were going through, with their own burning. Their own burning desire, their own burning passion, their own burning feeling of longing. So, like, yeah, like burning passion is like, kay, you know, Ben's with, you know, what that thing he likes to do. We don't know. But then, you know, he has, there's this thing that he keeps doing again and again. The you know, burning desires of Haemi wanting to know what her existence means, and that if it means something in this world, and what her great hunger is, and you know, burning longing of Jongsu, of, you know, trying to succeed in life, be better than his dad. And we all have that in ourselves. Kaya dun ko siya na-relate, you know, outside.
So, yeah, that was a great unpacking uwi, like super, super well. Yeah. Kasi sobrang dami nating na-realize on the fly while we were talking about this film. So with this, let's go on to our next segment. So we call this segment Hard Tough Questions.
Mahal mo pa ako kahit kailangan mo ko. Kaya mahal mo ko.
All right. So Uwi, here are the questions. So
my favorite segment.
So speed round to. No need to explain. You just have to choose. Okay. First question. Tumira sa bahay ni Ben but struggling artist ka, like Jongsu, or tumira sa bahay ni Jongsu but kasing yaman ka ni Ben?
I'd pick living in Jongsu's house. Be as rich as Ben. No explanations needed.
Okay,
just like his job.
If you were Haemi, sino pipiliin mo? Jongsu, but pag nag-aaway kayo, ipapakain ka niya sa cow? Or Ben, pero pag nag-aaway kayo, susunugin ka niya?
Oof! I go with that fetish satisfaction right there with Ben.
Okay.
Mag-aaway kami ni Ben tapos susunugin niya ako.
Alright, sige. Just to satisfy Steven yun. Okay, gets naman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alright, last question. Are you willing to burn all the greenhouses in South Korea, or are you willing to dance the Great Hunger Dance for 12 hours straight?
Willing to do both.
Okay.
Burn all the greenhouses. Kasi thank 12 bro. Hours nakapagod.
Alright. So thank you, Uwi, for answering those questions. So for our next segment, we'd like to call this Unsung Hero!
Honey!
What?
Where's my super suit?
What?
Where is my super suit?
Alright, so this is the segment where me and Uwi just like give credit where credit is due to these people who are part of the film. Alright, so let's start with the director. So the film is directed by Lee Chang-dong. So He's the winner of the Asian Film Awards and Asian Film Critics Association for Best Director for this film. Also, he's the director of Poetry, Secret Sunshine, Oasis, Peppermint Candy, and Green Fish.
Screenplay, Oh Jung-mi, winning writer for London Film Week, Faroe Island Film Festival, and New Mexico Film Critics for Burning, writer of Mr. Cowper, and Lee Shangdong, writer of Poetry, Secret Sunshine, Oasis, Peppermint Candy, and Green Fish, A Single Spark, and To the Starry Island. For cinematographer, you have Hong Kim-pyo, cinematographer for Oscar-winning film, Parasite, cinematographer for Take Off 2, Snowpiercer, Always, Hunters, The Foul King, Guns and Talks, and Fly Low.
The editors of this film is Kim Da-won. So first film credit niya atong Burning. So first project na to. Kim Yoon, editor for Poetry, Secret Sunshine, Princess Aurora, Oasis, The Warrior, Peppermint Candy, The Young Man, Soul Evita, My Love, My Bride, Don Quixote on Asphalt, Lady of the Court, and Three Day Rain.
For composer, you have Moog. Sobrang galing, beautiful score. Moog. Composer of Deliver Us From Evil, Train to Busan presents Peninsula, The Beast, Intimate Stranger, A Special Lady, The Outlaws, The King, 16 episodes of Entourage, The Age of Shadows, Miss Granny, I Saw the Devil, and Totally Spies the Movie.
Okay, for production design, we have Shin Joon-hee. So, Vulcan Prize awardee from the 2019 Cannes Film Festival for Burning.
Ooh.
Production designer for Northern Limit Line, Poetry, and Secret Sunshine. For costume design, we have Lee Chung-yun, Grand Bell Awards nominee for costume design for She, costume designer for Poetry.
For hair and makeup, you have Kim Jong-ja, hairstylist for Bakugan, Battle Force, Elga Doraemon, Nobita no Getsumen Tansaki, makeup artist for Doraemon the Movie, Nobita's Treasure Island, 1987 When the Day Comes, and you have Hwang Yun-kyu, makeup artist for 1987 When the Day Comes, Kuru Kuru and Friends, The Royal Tailor, Hawaii, Monster Boy, The Thieves, The Man from Nowhere, Poetry, Mother, and Blade of the Phantom Master.
Wow, such great films. Grabe, this film is packed with great talent. So again, Uwi, I'd like to thank you so much for guesting. I hope this won't be the last time you guest. Kasi
no,
I'd love
thank
to
you,
have
Fran.
You more.
Super thank you. And you know, like I would if everyone would allow, I would love to be like, you know, doing this, because you know, I just love like talking about film. I actually can't wait for, you know, the next episode, honestly. So I mean I won't spoil, but then no, thank you talaga, like super fun, look forward to these, and ano, just ask anytime. Yes na yan.
Yeah, all right, thank you so much, Uwi. And with that, do you want to promote anything on your social media accounts or your new Letterboxd account?
Yes, actually, yeah, for this episode, yan naman yung i-promote ko. Actually, you know, if you want to read movie reviews, you can follow Uwi Reviews. We'll just post it like how it's spelled. Yeah, Uwi Reviews on Letterboxd. I'll be posting new reviews on movies I've seen before, and movies I'll be watching soon. And I'll try to give fresh new takes on how to write reviews, something different from you know, the ones that you read all the time. Try to put my own unique stamp, yes, and rating to it. Just trying to make it fun, not to be too serious. Nothing wrong with that, but then, you know, just really want to have fun with this letterbox, so I won't get too stressed about it. So yeah, hope you guys could check it out if you have time. We Reviews on Letterboxd. And thank you again to my friends who are listening, family, and to friends.
It's an honor, man.
Yeah, hope you guys continue to listen to more of his episodes. Really a lot in store, and you know, a lot could be done with this. And hope you listen to the previous 2-3 episodes.
Yeah. All right, so please follow Tara Let's Unpack on social media, on Facebook, Instagram. It's Tara Let's Unpack
Pod. Yes.
And also, Tara Let's Unpack has a Letterboxd account na rin as well. So it's, ooh, Tara Let's Unpack. So may follow ano na doon. Meron ng list doon about on the ano. Meron ng list doon for the upcoming episodes actually. So
spoiler. You wanna
know in advance, may spoilers. Spoiler. And yeah, so again, thank you guys for listening. This has been a fun episode, sobrang insightful. And Uwi, thank you once again. So
yes, thank you.
This has been Tara. Let's unpack.
Yes. Okay.
Bye, guys.